hear me?
You can hear me. Okay, good. Right, oi. Huh. Anyone jumps out of seat. Right, children and kids, you can go to your group. Go, go, go. Woo, woo. Come on. Come on. And then why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, hello, it's great to see you. You're looking fine today. And if they're not looking fine, then say, no, don't just say it. They're looking fine today. That was quick. Have you finished? You're hungry for the word. That's all good. That's all good. I'm glad for that. Let's go for this. No, that's not going to do it. Can we get on the? It's there somewhere. It's coming. So if you have a Bible, if you want to look at Psalm 1, if you want to pull that up or find it, that would be grand. And if we can, you need to bring across the PowerPoint onto the screen. I just was going to start. Oh, is it a picture? Is it gone? Okay. Okay, thinking about these things, a mobile phone, a car, a plane, a train, a dishwasher, a washing machine, what do they all need? Power. They need power. There we go. I knew what my first slide was. What connects all these pictures? They need power, don't they? They all need power. Power is needed. You need fuel or power for all these different things. Do you know what? We in the Christian life need power. We need to be fueled up. We need to be powered up. And how do we get that? Well, the Holy Spirit can be part of that powering up. Fellowship can be part of that. But notice, fellowship isn't just having a nice chat. Fellowship is actually sharing about the things of God and growing in the things of God. That can be powering up. Prayer could be powering up. Worship could be powering up. But one of the most significant ways of our lives being powered up is by reading the Word of God. It is the key to a blessed life. Obeying God's Word is the key to a blessed life. And today we're going to speak all about this in our lives, of having a blessed life by obeying the Word of God. Last week, we began to look and think about building our lives on God's Word, on the rock. And this is kind of like part two. It's like taking it a bit further, because I felt that last week we kind of scratched the surface, but this week we want to go that bit deeper. And we want to take it further for us on what this means. So here's a little story. I'm feeling a bit echoey. Can you just turn it down slightly? Here's a story. This is a book called Be Still, which is talking about getting into the Bible and also spending time with God each day. And the author writes this: my late teens were troubled years. I tried and failed to cope with my mother's death. I found myself in trouble with the police on various occasions and was eventually sentenced to spend time in a probation hostel where I awaited trial for another offense. During my time there, I began to recognize that I was stuck in a dysfunctional cycle that was not leading anywhere good. One morning, after a pretty hectic session of drug use, I finally acknowledged that I was at the end of my rope, broken, alone, and trapped. I picked up a Bible that had been given to me by some Christians a few weeks earlier, and sitting on my probation hostel bed, I made an honest and sincere plea. God, if you're real, save me. Letting the pages of the Bible fall open randomly, I read these words from the book of Isaiah. Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. I had prayed, God, if you're real, save me. And within moments, I had read God's response, that his arm was not too short to save. It leapt out at me, spoke to me, moved me, and I started to weep. And in that moment, I gave my life back to God and committed to following him. That's one story of how the Bible is so very powerful. And if we allow the Bible to take center place in our lives, it can speak to us, it can change us, it can enable us and fuel us for life so that we have a blessed life. For me, it has been the case that the Bible is daily sustenance. It is the way to keep going in the Christian faith. In my highest times, but in my lowest times, it is reading the Word of God that has been the rock that has been sure, that has enabled me to keep on. And today as we look at a psalm, the psalms are beginning of the songbook of the Bible. And they're wonderful, the psalms. They open up a whole lot of devotion to God as people wrote these psalms. They often can speak to us in our own culture. In fact, some of psalms are people's best loved passages. There's a timeless quality to psalms. They can be easily applied to the Christian life. And it's no surprise that hymn writers have often used the Psalms as their basis of their songs. Others have written about the Psalms. John Calvin said, the Psalms, we look into a mirror and see our own heart. Or as another modern commentator put it, every Psalm seems to have my name and address on us. The book of Psalms is a hymn book written over 1,000 years. It's the longest book in the Bible. And do you know what psalm actually means? Here's one for you who wanted to go on QI or something like that. The word psalm literally means twang or pluck. I bet you'll think it was going to be really significant. I've gone twang or pluck. So when you next pick up the psalms, you can just say not psalms, you can say twang book. No, maybe not. Anyway, I can't see that necessarily catching on. Psalms are most commonly spoken or sung. I went to a church where we used to sing through the psalms. We don't tend to do that now, but there's a real richness in the psalms. And you can even shout the psalms. That doesn't always go down so well, but, you know, if you're on your own, try it. So the Psalms, great book in the Bible. So we're going to look at Psalm number 1. It's the beginning. It's kind of like the introduction to the rest of the Psalms, and it gives us this wonderful look at two ways of living. Psalm number 1. Here we go. I'll just put it up on the screen. Here we go. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither. They prosper in all they do, but not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff, scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. Psalm number 1. So it contrasts the blessed life and the wicked life. Two ways of living within this psalm. The two ways of being. And if you want to do some background, Jeremiah 17, verse 5 to 8, you can look at that passage, and that contrasts as well the ways of living of God and the wicked's ways of living. It's almost a kind of mirror image of this passage. So what does it begin? It begins with this, oh, the joys of those who do not. So the blessed or the joy, God's way, blessed or very, very happy. The joys. It's plural. And it goes on. It's going forward, delivering blessing. It has something of, you know, when we look in Matthew about the blessed life that Jesus speaks out. Blessed are those. Well, blessed or those full of joy are those. So the blessed life here that the psalmist wants us to get hold of. And first of all, he states what it's not. Bible doesn't always do that, but sometimes it does. So it says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. or stand around with the sinners or join in with mockers. The progression here is walking, standing, sitting. Walking, standing, sitting. It's a progression. First of all, you walk with those in the advice of the wicked. Then you linger with evildoers. And then you sit with those who scoff at the things of God. As the message puts it, like this. How well God must like you. That's the blessed life. He puts it like that. You don't walk in the ruts of those blind as bats. That's the advice of the wicked. You don't stand around. You don't stand with the good for nothings. And you don't take your seat among the know-it-alls. You don't let these things influence your life. But what we learned last week is most of us are taking most of our time being influenced by other stuff than the Word of God. So what is influencing us? The media, the people around us, the stuff we read. So often this actually is shaping us, not God shaping us. That's what's shaping our mind, our thinking. And if we're going to live in a different way, then our mind is going to have to be shaped and formed in a different way by God. Obeying God's word, key to life. I've even got some little icons for you. I like them. They're quite nice, aren't they? You can try and remember those. And they're going to think the things that we're going to go through. Read, delight, and ponder. Now, last week I used this little quote from Billy Graham. It says, if you're ignorant of God's word, you'll always be ignorant of God's will. Do you want to be ignorant of God's will? Do you not want to know what God's will is? Well, if you don't read, you're not going to find out. We need to read. Now, the reason why the passage doesn't say read God's word is because the Jewish people did it. That was not something that needed to be said in those days. They read the word of God. In fact, they would have had a weekly portion of the reading of the Torah, and they would have read the Torah, and then they would have gone to the synagogue, and the preacher there would have taken the Torah and would then have preached on the Torah and would have opened it up to the people of God. And the Jewish people would have received that. And so it was part of them. And at the Sabbath, they would have gone through the Torah, part of the Torah. And then in their holy days and their festival days, they'd have gone through the pieces of the Torah. But we, as Christians, we have the whole Bible. We have the revelation of Jesus Christ. And yet, what's happened? Ooh, are we reading? On average, 10 minutes a day, if that. And 50% of us don't even read that. Now, I'm not trying to guilt trip you, but how can we be shaped by the things of God if we're not reading the Word of God? You know, we need to read the Word of God. Read me, it said underneath there, and dust. Read me. We need to be reading the word of God. What did Jesus say about the word of God? He said this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Jesus says, no, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone. This is an answer to what the devil was tempting him with. People do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So you want to get fueled up, you want to get fed up. That's in the right way, fed up. Yeah? Fed up, then you need to be reading up on the word of God. Yeah? You need to be reading daily, regularly. Now, maybe daily we're feeling like, that's quite hard work, but at least start to read a little more than occasionally. There's one quote here that says, the Bible is meant to be bread for daily use, not cake for special occasions. Too often that's where the Bible's become, cake for special occasions. It's bread for every day. Now here's the thing. Now I got a nice loaf of bread on Saturday, and I like a nice loaf of bread. Is anyone else with me on that? Nice loaf of bread, freshly baked. Lovely. But then there's other days, aren't there, where you have to make your sandwich and your bread is, well, hey, it's not the nicest loaf. It's okay. But what do? You just go, no, I'm not going to eat today. I'm not going to eat at all. But you still eat it. You still eat it. So there's sometimes when we come to the Word of God, and maybe sometimes it does feel a little bit less than exciting, but other days, oh, man. man, it's next. But you still eat it. You don't just give up eating because you had one day where you had a bit of a bland food, bland meal. I didn't put enough salt and pepper on my food last night. And so the rest of the family needed to put a bit more on, you know? And just because you had bland food, you didn't have quite the right amount of seasoning, doesn't mean you think, all right, I'm giving up with eating. That's a bit passe, isn't it? I just can't be bothered. You know, you're going to keep eating. We need to keep reading the Word of God, even when sometimes you find it difficult, or it just feels like, man, I'm not sure how that's fueled me today. You keep going. I learned to get that as part of my pattern. Reading the Word of God every day. When I was in a boarding school, I had to go and hide my Bible and my Bible reading notes in my music practice file because I thought I'd just get ripped and given a hard time. And sometimes you pull it out in the dorm and that would give you trouble. So I reckon that was a time to shut the door, pretend that you're playing piano and read the Bible. I didn't get any better at my piano playing. In fact, my parents spent 5 years of tuition and I still can't play the piano. But I did read the Word of God in that place. And I kept reading it. And I keep on reading it. And reading the Word of God is so important. Now, here's a deal with you. And this might be something you need to think about. If you read the Word of God on your phone, do you turn off the notifications? Do you turn off the things that pop up? Because it's going to be very hard to read the Word of God if you're getting all these things coming at you. The sounds, the interruptions. If suddenly a notification comes, so-and-so really loves your picture. So-and-so really thinks you're great. So-and-so wants to see you later on this evening. Are you going to be reading and focusing on the Word of God? Or ping. Something's happened in Russia. Something's happened in Ukraine. Or ping. Your sports team has just made a transfer and has got rid of your best player. It's hard to concentrate if those things are pinging up on your phone. Actually concentrate on the Word of God. I would suggest turn your notifications off if you're going to read electronically. But you know what? You need to read the Word of God. And in Joshua 1 verse 8, we read that Joshua is encouraged to meditate on the Word of God. And what does it say? In order that your life might prosper. In Revelation 1 verse 3, it says, read this book. Why? Because it'll make you a little bit better, or it's a fun book to read. It says, because you'll be blessed. You'll be blessed. It says, read this book. Read the words of this book because you'll be blessed. Do you know what the enemy wants to make you do? Not read it. The enemy wants you to go, oh, you don't have the time. You can't be bothered. I've got too many other things going on. Well, you've got too many other things to watch Netflix. Too many other things to watch the sport you watch. I watch hours of sport. I've got too much time to do those things, but I don't have enough time to read the Word of God. I can make choices about what I do. So the first thing is we need to read the Word of God. The only way to build a church is to preach out the Bible, teach out the Bible, read out the Bible. Otherwise, you end up with something other than church. And that is not good. We need to read the Word of God. Build church out of that place. Okay, so read. The second thing we need is we need, going backwards, going forwards, we need to delight. So if the first thing is to read, the second thing is they delight, the verse 2 says. If you've got Psalm 1 there in front of you, it says, they delight in the law of the Lord. Delighting on the law of the Lord. In the message, it says, they're thrilled. Instead, you thrill to God's word. So thrill to God's word. It's an attitude. How do you come to the Word of God? How do you come to church? How do you come to the Word of God? Are you delighted? When a friend says to you, come round for a meal, we're going to do a feast. Are you delighted? You're going, wow, that's going to be amazing. I'm looking forward to that. God sets a table of his delights in this Word of God. Oh dear. In the Word, God has set a table of delights that he wants you to feast on. Open it. It's the most electrifying, it's the most amazing book. Open it, get into it, and find that you can feast on it and see what it says. God sets his table in front of you, and he wants to speak to you. I heard one preacher who said this. It's alive! It's alive. It's alive. This is alive. It is alive. Sorry, that was quite loud. You don't believe me? Some of you, sorry, have woken up. Who has woken up? Anyone? Whoa! So anyone got harp issues after that? Right. Yeah, I better watch what I do, eh? Right. So let's just come in and say, why did that speaker say that? If I can get there. My pages won't turn today. Here we go. For the word of God is what? Dead? Boring? Is alive! Alive! For the word of God is alive. That's Hebrews 4, verse 12. The word of God is alive and powerful. More powerful than social media, Instagram, all these things. They're just passe. This is the word of God. It's alive and it's powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked, exposed before his eyes. He is the one to whom we're accountable. This book is alive. It is dynamite. It is dunamos. It is alive. It is powerful. It can set the world alive and on fire if we let it. But unfortunately, in so many Christians' homes, it is closed, not read. So I encourage you, read it and delight in it. The word is alive. I want to just illustrate this very briefly. When I was in Turkey, we went as a family to Turkey a number of years ago. It was when I was in my teens, late teens, 20, I think it was just 20 actually. And we met a girl called Talia. We went to a beach resort, and it was where a lot of Turks went on holiday. And there was this young teenager who was sunning herself, had an English Bible, and she was called Talia. And my dad had decided that we would smuggle, because you're not actually strictly supposed to do this, but four Turkish Bibles in with our baggage. We also met up with the underground church while we were there. And he had four, we had these four Bibles, and this girl was reading an English Bible. And we went over to her, and I just noticed that, and I said, look, I see you're reading an English Bible. What's going on? I'm really interested. Well, we were told not to read it, and so that first of all made me interested. And then I managed to find this one in the library. It was the only one, and so I've been trying to read it. I said, oh, it's amazing. And then I said, well, would you like a version in your own language? And she said, that would be absolutely amazing. And so we gave her a gospel that was in her own language. The next morning, first thing in the morning, she was round at our house. Around our flat, and she said, that's the most amazing thing. Last night I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What? So I've never read anything like that. And she said, every time I came to the crucifixion, I cried. Is that okay? And then when it's resurrection, I was just so amazed. And I believe that something happened, and that girl came to know Jesus at that time. The power of God. The power of God. The word of God is alive, folks. It's alive. And why do we leave it not read? Let's read the word of God. And let's delight in it. In Psalm 119, verses 14 to 16, it says this. I've rejoiced in your Lord's laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. Sisters, let's get hold of the word of God. Let's get excited. Let's get delighted in the word of God. I came across this story, and you might be thinking, I'm telling a lot of stories today, and I am, because I like telling stories, and you'll remember stories, but it will also illustrate, and hopefully by that, then you'll remember what's being said. But this is a story about a speaker called Ravi, and he was in ministry in Vietnam in 1971. This is his story. One of my interpreters who traveled with me was a guy called Hein Pan, an energetic, devoted young Christian who'd worked very closely as a translator with the American military forces as a civilian with no official or military responsibilities. He just knew English so well that he was able to be of immense help to them in their linguistic struggles. By virtue of that same strength, he also worked with missionaries. He and I traveled the length of country and became very close friends. Before I bade him goodbye when I left Vietnam to return home, we were both very young and neither of us knew if our paths would cross again. Within 4 years, Vietnam fell, and Hien's fate was unknown. 17 years later, in 1988, I received a surprise telephone call that began, "Brother Ravi." Immediately, I recognized Hien's voice. We got caught up, and then he began to tell his story. Shortly after Vietnam fell to the communists, Hien was arrested. During one long jail term, the sole purpose of his jailers was to indoctrinate him against the West, and especially against democratic ideals and the Christian faith. His daily overdose, the writings of Marx and Engels, began to take its toll on him. He began to buckle under the onslaught. Maybe he thought, "I've been lied to. Maybe God doesn't exist. Maybe my whole life has been governed by lies." Finally, he made up his mind. He determined that when he wakened the next day, he would not pray anymore or even think of his Christian faith again. The next morning, he was assigned to clean the latrines of the prison. It was the most dreaded chore, shunned by everyone. And so with much distress, he began the awful task. As he cleaned out a tin can filled to overflowing with toilet paper, his eye caught what he thought was English printed on one piece of paper. He washed it off, slipped it into his hip pocket, planning to read it at night, not having seen anything in English for such a long time. He waited for the free moment. And under the mosquito net that night, after his roommates had fallen asleep, he pulled out a small flashlight. Shining on this damp piece of paper, he read at the top corner, Romans chapter 8. Literally trembling with shock, he began to read. "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" He wept. He knew his Bible. He'd not seen one for so long. Not only that, he knew there was not a more relevant passage of conviction and strength for one on the verge of surrendering to the threat of evil. He cried out to God, asking for forgiveness. For this had been the first day in years he determined not to pray. Evidently, the Lord had other plans. The next day, he asked the commander if he could clean the latrine again. And by the way, it was disgusting, the latrine in those days, awful. He continued with his chore on a regular basis, discovered that some official in the camp was using a Bible as toilet paper. Each day, he picked up a portion of scripture, cleaned it off, added it to his nightly devotional reading. In this way, he retrieved a significant portion of the Bible. The day came when eventually, through providential set of circumstances, he was released, and he miraculously escaped to Thailand. God's word speaking, even in that situation, and him receiving it in that way. Extraordinary. To delight in God's word. The power of God's word. God's word is alive and active. What next do we need to do? Well, we need to ponder. They delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. Meditating. It's not Eastern meditation of empty your mind of everything and just go, just have nothing. Meditation that we read about in Scripture is to focus on the things of God. Maybe one part of Scripture, maybe a passage of Scripture. Rather filling our minds with God's Word, poring over, thinking about it, chewing on it, letting God's Word dwell richly in us, as Colossians 3 verse 16 says. Allowing God's Word to dwell in us, feeding our soul. Jesus, morning and night, went to spend time with his Father. Probably the Word of God was part of that. Daily habit for each one of us to think about reading the words of God day by day by day, making it a pattern that we do. And when we read the word of God, if we ponder, then the word of God does something to us. It changes us. It transforms us. You want to be a better person? Read the word of God. You want to be a kinder person? Read the word of God. You want to be a more powerful person in God? Read. If you want to be a more effective person in business, even, I believe, because you'll be full of integrity, read the word of God. If you want to be a better neighbor, read the word of God. I can't think of anything in the whole of life that isn't going to be changed and transformed that isn't contained in the word of God that's going to be good. Now, things are bad. No, but don't read it. but read the word of God for the things of God. It says this. This is what Karl Barth said, a great theologian. I have read many books, but the Bible reads me. The Bible reads me. So it changes and transforms us inside. Ponder on the word of God. It is a word that guides us, leads us. In Psalm 119, and I've used Psalm 119, if you want to read a psalm that can keep on giving you ways in which you can take on and think about the word of God. Psalm 119, which is the longest psalm, has a lot contained in it about the importance of the word of God. But one verse, in verse 105, it says this, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. That is, in fact, the Scripture Union kind of key verse. But it is a light to our path. It guides our feet. And so the word of God makes a massive difference. And some churches didn't even have whole Bibles. The Chinese church, the underground church, the persecuted church, doesn't have the word of God in its totality. Very often they only have little parts of it. And one of the ways that they ponder, they spend time in the word of God, is they wrote on stones part of a verse. And they would just get that part of the verse for the whole week. And they would spend the time just reading it and having it in their pocket. And then when the secret police were around, they didn't know that they had the word of God, but they could have it as on a stone in their pocket. That's how they had it. And they memorized and they let the word of God sink in and over them. And they love and cherish their Bibles in the Chinese underground church. They see it as being so valuable. And yet we can be quite blasé, but may we be people that seek out to love and to go after the word of God. Well, I just want to bring Chima up, actually. And I'm just going to ask him a couple of questions. Have we got the mic? Yeah, Chima, come on. Because I just thought, let's birth this right local. And let's find out just someone who's reading the word and what the difference it makes them. So, Chima, just tell us a little bit, you know, how do you go about reading the word for yourself?
Okay, first being practical, I think you get to do something to an extent, the thing has to take you over. So, for instance, you wake up in the morning, you have a routine, right? You got to bathe, do whatever you want to do. You've been able to build a system or a structure around yourself that it happens automatically. So for me personally, I think the place of getting to study God's word comes to getting to see it as a routine, getting to see it as something I need to do for my own benefit. Yeah.
And tell us, and what do you see the benefit, difference it makes?
For me, getting to study God's word, there's this picture that comes to mind. Maybe some of us might have seen it, where there's this little cat. He's looking at a mirror, but the cat is not, he's not seeing a little cat any longer. He's beginning to see a bigger cat, a lion. I don't know if anybody has seen that. Yeah, so getting to study God's word for me is to make me see beyond the circumstances around me, beyond my personal things around me, whether in the valley or on the mountaintop, getting to see myself from God's word, from God's reality. Yeah, that's one of the benefits I've always gotten, getting to read the Bible on a day-to-day basis to enable me pass through the circumstances of life on a daily basis.
That's great. Let's give a big cheer. Thanks. Yeah, so just reading the word regularly, and I know Cass was going to share a little bit, but he's with the kids, and he was just saying that for him, he reads Word for Today every morning. It's on the notes. And then the evening, he does his Lectio 365. So there's just two different examples of people that are just in the congregation finding a pattern of reading daily God's word and allowing God's word to shape them and to form them. And so finally, if we do that, then what happens is the result is that we thrive. The passage here then says, they are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither and they prosper in all they do. The people that spend their time in the word of God are not susceptible to drought. They will continue to bear fruit. They will do yearly, seasonally. They will keep bearing fruit. They will have health and vigor in their lives, in their spiritual life. They'll be blessed life. That even despite being in an arid land, it was a desert land that this was written to, the people would know that. And yet these trees are fruitful. They do not wither. Even when there's drought all around, stand firm. Their leaves never wither. They prosper in all they do. Is that what you want to be? Is that where you want to be? That in all areas, mentally, physically, that you can be someone who prospers, that doesn't wither, because you're basing your life, your heart, your mind on the things of God. Do you know, it's known that if you spend your time fixated on news and social media, your anxiety levels will increase. That's become evidential. Whereas if we spend our time in the Word of God, I really do believe our anxiety levels will decrease. Our peace will increase. Our sense of well-being will increase. And our sense of being connected to a God who is so amazing, who is alive. Who is alive. I won't shout again. He's alive. And so, it replenishes us. When I do exercise, maybe I have to take some electrolyte drinks. I take a gel to keep going. But the Word of God does that. It fuels us. It keeps us going. And the contrast with the wicked at the end of the passage, it says, but not the wicked. They're like worthless chaff. I'm not going to spend long on this. Scattered by the wind, they'll be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will now have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. Chaff is unprofitable, ends up being judged and thrown out. When you get seeds, there's chaff and seeds. Seeds, worthwhile, chaff, useless. Gets blown around by the wind. I have a neighbor who is so fearful at the moment. He's got every single scare going on. Health scare, all sorts of scares. A life that has no rootedness, no sense of base to it. Then he finds that he's just getting blown around. Sow the chaff and will face judgment. And so what do I do with all this stuff? Last week I was giving out some of these to get people to begin to get a bit of a plan. You need to start by reading. Reading. Start somewhere. Get an overview. This is one way of getting an overview. Others may be using other ways. You might have a Bible plan. You might have Lectio 365. You might want to read a verse a day. You might want to read a large chunk. You might want to get an overview. You might want to memorize. But whatever way you do, you need to read. And maybe a mixture of all those. I'm at the moment highlighting all the way through my Bible. One Bible. I know some people find that a bit like, oh, you're wrecking a Bible. But I just want to kind of get it. Get it. What's going on? Where's the miraculous stuff? Where's what? What are people saying that's right and what is not right? And I'm kind of highlighting it all. Read the Word of God. Delight. Be expectant in what God is going to say. Pray that God will help you. His Holy Spirit is there to give you insight and knowledge into His Word. Ponder. Consider what the Word of God is saying. Let's be a movement of people that take hold of the Word of God, fueled by the Word of God, making a difference in the world today. The Word of God is alive and active. So let's just take a moment. I'm just landing it right there. I want us to just take a moment, because what I think we'll do is we'll just hear what God has to say. And what we're going to do is we're going to just take a moment to be quiet, and then we'll see. And we're going to finish with one song, but we'll go for the song Lighthouse. But not yet. Okay, so let's just pray. Holy Spirit. Just in this space, I want you to listen out if there is a verse of scripture that you think is for someone else in the congregation here. This is not anything other than a verse. Okay? So it's not you coming to do a little teach on a verse. It's not you giving a little illustration. It is a verse that you think is for someone here today. A verse of scripture. Holy Spirit, I pray that you just speak to us now. and speak to this body, that if you have words for us that come from your scripture, from the word, Lord, I pray that you'd help us now to share it. In your name. So I'm just going to invite you, just stay in that prayerful place.